Hello, and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on Active Directory Federation Services. My name is Aaron Suzuki. Let's take a look at what we'll be covering in this session. Microsoft is working to create software that simplifies identity management. In this session, we're going to talk about the identity management features in Microsoft Windows Server 2003 R2, starting with the vision. Then we'll talk about the features and functionality in Windows Server 2003 R2 that help deliver on the vision. We'll spend the majority of time focusing on a brand new feature in Windows Server 2003 R2 called Active Directory Federation Services, or ADFS. ADFS enables several identity integration scenarios across conventional security boundaries. This session will talk about what it is, how it works, and we'll spend time looking at a scenario in which ADFS is implemented and perform the configuration. This session assumes a certain amount of prerequisite knowledge. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we'll explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products we may not spend time on. To help you out, we've listed out the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with either prior to or after this session. You should have a working knowledge of Active Directory. We're going to progress to a level of depth and complexity in exploring ADFS that in order to understand this session, ideally you should use Active Directory frequently in your day-to-day work. Since we are going to set up security across organizational boundaries, we'll use certificates to facilitate authentication and authorization methods. A general understanding of certificates will help you grasp the security configuration of ADFS. Authentication and authorization can be deployed in various ways. We aren't going to dive into the benefits or drawbacks of each method, but we will discuss what is possible. Your own awareness of authentication and authorization methods will help you piece together how you could deploy ADFS in the business scenarios you support. Ultimately, we're facilitating access to applications. Knowledge of IIS and how web applications work will help since applications need to be enabled and integrated properly in order to take advantage of ADFS. ADFS is pretty complex and very involved. We try to explain ADFS in sufficient detail that this is a level 300 session, but you'll probably still need more information in order to successfully configure and deploy ADFS in your environment. Let's begin our session by discussing identity management. Let's review the agenda for this session. We'll start by talking in general terms about identity management and where Windows Server 2003 R2 fits into the picture. Then we'll talk about the components in Windows Server 2003 R2, starting with Active Directory Application Mode, or ADAM. ADAM is not a new feature, but there are several improvements and additions that are worth reviewing. Several Unix interoperability features are included in Windows Server 2003 R2. We'll briefly cover Unix identity management features in Windows Server 2003 R2. Finally, we'll talk about ADFS. We'll start by talking about federation, then get into details about what ADFS is, then talk about how it works. Well, let's get right into it. Let's talk about the vision for identity management. Microsoft has a vision for identity management that transcends a specific product. Ultimately, the vision is that identity management needs to be simplified to a point that the cost and level of effort required to perform identity management is as low as possible. In the past, the paradigm was that of an application silo, where each application had its own identity system. Most applications were internally focused. As a result, the application was limited as to the business value it could provide. Today, there is considerable custom integration of applications and identity systems. Importance of serving external users in addition to internal users has driven integration, but much of it is performed on a custom or one-off basis. As a result, there is a high cost to value for these systems, and they leave considerable work to IT organizations to serve the needs of the applications and their users. The future view is to enable increasingly connected systems through federation, which we'll explore more when we talk about ADFS, and by creating and deploying applications that are built to be extended. These systems should be easy to configure, implement, and use. And if that can be accomplished, the cost is low and the value is high. So in general terms, we're in transition from an environment where identity integration products and services were required to accomplish identity management and integration tasks, and we're moving to an environment where the platform contains the tools to enable identity management and interoperability can be accomplished with web services. So let's continue to see how web services are interoperable. Windows Server 2003 addresses identity management with three key features: Active Directory Application Mode, or ADAM, Unix identity management features, and something completely new to Windows Server and the Windows Server system, ADFS. Having overviewed this identity management picture, let's move on to Active Directory. We've pretty well established the background and the reasons why we want to have better identity management tools and features. Now we'll look at each technology, starting with ADAM. Many of us have heard of ADAM, but do you know what ADAM is? Let's talk about it next. ADAM is a lightweight, domain-independent mode of Active Directory used to provide directory services for applications. Basically, it provides a data store and tools to access the data store. ADAM uses the same code as Active Directory, which means it has the same programming model, admin tools, and replication model as Active Directory. One of the key benefits to ADAM is its simplicity. It has a simple wizard-based install, not requiring time-consuming installs like DC Promo. ADAM also has good schema flexibility, and synchronization with Active Directory is possible via Identity Integration Feature Pack, which is a free web download. You can perform authentication in Active Directory and authorization in ADAM for increased security. Next, let's look at a couple scenarios to show how ADAM could be used. Let's consider an intranet-based web portal with some personalization features. Active Directory would still be used to perform authentication, but ADAM is the repository to store and retrieve the personalization information. Let's look at another scenario. In an extranet scenario, external access could be accomplished via ADFS, a third-party solution, or a custom integration solution. Because ADAM can host user objects that are not Windows security principles, but that can be authenticated using LDAP simple binds, all the user information as well as authorization data for these applications can be stored in ADAM. This configuration works well even in heterogeneous environments and even when Active Directory is not present as the infrastructure provider. Web clients are serviced by a portal application that can run on any platform while using ADAM, and as a simple LDAP store. There are many improvements to ADAM in Windows Server 2003 R2. Let's touch on those next. The following features are new to ADAM in Windows Server 2003 R2. First, the Active Directory to ADAM Synchronizer tool synchronizes objects from Active Directory to an ADAM instance. ADAM users can bind to an ADAM instance by using digest authentication. This authentication method uses the default credentials of the server applications and eliminates the need to keep a plain text version of the application's password in memory. Digest bind is supported in LDP. Next, the Active Directory Schema Analyzer tool helps with migrating the Active Directory schema to ADAM. There's also a newer version of the LDP tool. The updated tool includes an access control list editor. One more important improvement is user password chaining. ADAM can now chain user password requests in ADAM to the user object in Active Directory so that a password is changed in both directory services. When a user in ADAM, who is also a user in Active Directory, attempts to change the user password in ADAM, that change is treated the same as a user password change in Active Directory. Both the old and new password must be provided, except for Active Directory administrators who only need to supply the new password. And the new password must meet any password policies that are set in Active Directory. Active Directory performs all policy checking. Having covered ADAM, now let's move on to Unix identity management. we'll briefly review Unix identity management features in Windows Server 2003 R2. Let's start by looking at some challenges of interoperability within Unix identity management. Historically, there have been barriers to fluid integration of heterogeneous computing environments, such that Windows networks were not able to easily interoperate with Unix networks. The features in Windows Server 2003 R2 create a simpler means of integrating the two environments, removing many of the common barriers to interoperation. Let's talk about the objective of interoperation with Unix identity management. One of the key objectives for enabling interoperation is the ability to manage identities across platforms with greater simplicity and efficiency. Using Windows Server 2003 R2 Unix interoperability tools, you can begin to consolidate administration and monitoring across platforms, as well as manage both platforms with the same tools. Now, let's look at the tools that help enable interoperability. First, Server for NIS helps integrate Windows and Unix-based Network Information Service servers by enabling an Active Directory domain controller to act as a master NIS server for one or more NIS domains. Let's look at how an Active Directory domain controller running Server for NIS becomes a master server for the NIS domain. Identity management for Unix includes an easy-to-use wizard that a Windows domain administrator can use to export NIS domain maps to Active Directory entries. Once this is done, an Active Directory domain controller running Server for NIS becomes the master server for the NIS domain, and the Unix NIS servers become the subordinate. Next, let's look at some elements of Unix password synchronization. Password synchronization helps integrate Windows and Unix servers by simplifying the process of maintaining secure passwords. With password synchronization, users do not need to maintain separate passwords for their Windows and Unix accounts, or remember to change the password in multiple locations. Password synchronization automatically changes a user password on the Unix network when the user changes his or her password in Windows, and vice versa. Password synchronization supports Sun Solaris version 8 running on x86-based computers and Spark-based computers, Solaris version 9 running on Spark-based computers, Hewlett-Packard UX version 11i, IBM AIX version 5L 5.2, and Red Hat Linux versions 8 and 9 running on x86-based computers and 64-bit AMD-based computers. Server for NIS should work with almost any operating system or product that uses LDAP. So having covered Unix identity management, let's move on to ADFS. We've talked about the big picture and two of the three key identity management features in Windows Server 2003 R2. Now we'll tackle the big new feature, ADFS. Let's start by talking in general terms about the concept of federation. Essentially, federation is the creation of trust-based relationships across organizations. There are a couple things to consider here. One of the key things is that the trust-based relationship starts with having the proper corporate policies in place regarding privacy, security standards required from organizations with which you will federate. You'll also want to establish general IT standards and operating agreements with your federation partners. In other words, before you even start implementing anything on the technology side, it is important that the business relationship is fully established and formalized with agreements and business policies and standards. The great thing is that once those policies and standards are in place, you've established the procedures and practices. Federation can significantly accelerate the creation of partner relationships. Using the Windows Server 2003 R2, federated identity management features provides a standardized model for integration with partners. Plus, it helps to improve security by keeping user identity management the responsibility of the partner organization, as opposed to managing multiple identities in multiple organizations. So that's federation. What is ADFS? ADFS is an Active Directory-based identity federation solution that provides simplified sharing of identity information across security boundaries, either across or within organizations. The federation's solution facilitates several identity integration scenarios, including web single sign-on. Since ADFS is based on web services standards, interoperability with other federation solutions is possible and has been demonstrated in several cases. Next, let's look at how interoperability is possible with an Active Directory integrated solution. Federation sounds like a great concept, but if it only worked between Microsoft environments, it wouldn't get very far. For federation to be a successful concept, it needs to be standards-based, and that's what WS Federation is for. Part of the Web Services WS-Star set of web services specifications designed by Microsoft and other technology companies, WS Federation enables distinct security solutions to share identity information in a common format. This means, for example, that if a company managing users in Active Directory wanted to federate its users with an application provider that enabled access control with something like Netegrity SiteMinder, it would be possible using WS Federation. A number of leading identity management companies have either been involved in the writing of the specs or pledged their support for the specification in their products. Important to note, there are two major components to WS Federation: the passive requester profile and the active requester profile. The passive profile supports federation between browser-based applications using HTTPS and is supported in ADFS v1 in R2. Active profile is a more advanced specification that supports rich client applications that speak SOAP instead of proprietary protocols like RPC. This is generally the future direction of Windows-based application development with technologies like Indigo. Active client support will be available in ADFS v2 in the Longhorn timeframe. Enabling this requires the integration of many moving parts. Let's look at ADFS architecture to better understand this. ADFS is comprised of many components that work together to facilitate the many scenarios possible with ADFS. First, the Federation Service is the main component of ADFS. We'll abbreviate that as FS. FS is a WS Security compliant security token service. It is used to establish trust between security realms and issue security tokens created by Active Directory. FS translates between the local or private identity realm and the federation realm by validating, filtering, and mapping requests based on established trust relationships. In a typical transaction, an account-side FS, or FSA, retrieves user attributes from Active Directory, authenticates the user against Active Directory, generates a collection of claims for use in the access request, and issues a security token which includes the appropriate claims. We'll talk about this again later, but for now, claims are statements made about users, understood by both parties in a federation, that are used for authorization purposes in an application. Real quickly, if, for example, Joe is a manager, then Joe's access request may include the manager claim, which results in certain access rights. Based on the type of client, the FSA returns the security token either to the FS proxy or to the client. A second FS at the resource, or FSR, validates the token for authenticity, then consumes the token, passing the enclosed claims to an application for use in making authorization decisions. The FS is designed to fit easily into an organization's current infrastructure. For example, an FS can integrate with user stores from Windows Server 2000 Active Directory, Windows Server 2003 Active Directory, or Active Directory Application Mode. And since the Federation Service supports web farm style at deployments, that is, running multiple carbon copy images on a related family of machines, There are no performance sacrifices. Next, the Federation Service Proxy is the external-facing component of ADFS. Receiving and sending tokens over the Internet and providing a forms-based logon page for unauthenticated users. FSP, as it's called, enables secure, passive client interaction with DFS. The DFS proxy supports account logon and resource logon roles. The DFS proxy account, or FSPA role, acts as the user interface for an FS, requesting authentication credentials from the user, placing them in the token bound for the authentication side FS, or FSA. These authentication credentials may be in the form of client passwords, Windows Integrated Authentication, or TLS SSL client authentication. The FS Proxy Resource, or FSPR, acts as a user interface for the FS on the resource side, accepting federated account tokens from the user and for issuing resource tokens for the resource services realm. In this role, the FS proxy accepts the token issued by the FSA through the FSPA and passes it on to the Federation Service Resource, FSR, which issues a token bound to a specific resource server. FS proxy holds trust relationships with one or more FS, with all authentication credentials passed on to the appropriate FS, and all communications between FS and FS proxy servers secured. The WebSSO agent is an iSAPI extension that runs on IIS 6.0 and Windows Server 2003 R2. The WebSSO agent manages security tokens and authentication cookies for the web server. The SSO agent is responsible for intercepting incoming client URL requests for a protected resource and ensuring that a valid authentication token is presented. If no valid authentication token is present, the SSO agent redirects the client to the appropriate FS proxy to begin the authorization and claims creation process. If a valid authentication is presented, the SSO agent provides the authorization data packaged in the security token to the target application. The SSO agent provides authorization support for two distinct types of web applications, those using traditional Windows-based authorization mechanisms, and also claims-aware ASP.NET applications that can authorize against claims in the security token, either using ASP.NET roles or Authorization Manager. The SSO agent can also write HTTP cookies in client browsers to facilitate WebSSO. Authorization Manager is a component of Windows Server 2003 that provides role-based access control, or RBAC, infrastructure for applications. FS integrates with Authorization Manager to create organization-wide, role-based access policies that can be triggered by claims received for a specific resource. This capability enables organizations to enforce corporate access policy from one central location at an administrative level, rather than embedding hard-coded access control policies in every application. Organizations can use Authorization Manager to create policies that will interpret claims into application-level access rights used by every application that interacts with authorized identities. Finally, and perhaps obviously, ADFS is tightly integrated with Active Directory, retrieving user attributes and authenticating users against Active Directory, as well as using Windows Integrated Authentication and security tokens created by Active Directory. ADFS works with both Active Directory and Atom. Specifically, ADFS can leverage enterprise-wide deployments of Active Directory or instances of Atom. When using Atom, ADFS uses LDAP bind as a means to authenticate users, whereas when Active Directory, it can leverage Active Directory's supported strong authentication technologies, including Kerberos, X509 digital certificates, and smart cards. it's important to note that you can use Active Directory in Windows 2000 Server, Windows Server 2003, or Atom as the account store for ADFS. All the rest of the components require Windows Server 2003 R2, but the actual domain controllers do not have to be upgraded to use ADFS, so it's a little easier to deploy. We've mentioned some of the requirements to enable these services. Let's review them in a little more detail. The Federation Service, Federation Service Proxy, and the ADFS Web Service Agent must have the following services and roles installed and enabled. First, a web server with IIS 6.0 must be enabled. Second, an application server with ASP.NET and the Microsoft .NET Framework 2.0. Third, a default website configured with Transport Layer Security and Secure Sockets Layer, which of course we call TLS SSL. And the Federation service also requires an X509 certificate. We'll continue looking at the ADFS requirements in coming slides. Of course, ADFS also requires an account store. As we mentioned a couple slides ago, the account store can either be Active Directory or Atom. Fortunately, your domain controller is not required to be a Windows Server 2003 R2 server computer, which will hopefully ease deployment. So, assuming we followed these rules and created an environment that meets the requirements, let's take a first look at ADFS through a short demonstration. ADFS is not installed by default. In this first demonstration, we'll look at how to install the proper components and services for ADFS. We'll start by looking at how to install the core components of Active Directory Federation services. ADFS enables single sign-on to authenticate users to multiple related web applications over the life of a single online session. From the Microsoft Windows Component Wizard, we can install different components of Active Directory Federation services. Active Directory Federation Services, or ADFS, itself consists of multiple components, as you can see here. We'll discuss all of these, but for our demonstration, we only need to use two of them. To save time, the proper Federation services have already been installed, so we'll cancel the Windows Component Wizard. Next, let's investigate a couple ADFS scenarios. ADFS extends its set of platform-level authentication services to support the extranet-located non-domain web application scenario with ADFS. Now, when you use Windows Server and IIS for an extranet application, you can use forms authentication, and give users an SSO session cookie so they don't have to log on for access to any other web applications in a trusted domain. This is important because so many web applications are in fact a collection of applications. You don't want users being challenged over and over for credentials. Think of that like an online banking scenario, and the separate but co-located checking, credit card, and loan application scenarios. An interesting variation on the scenario is the B2E, or business-to-employee scenario, where an organization has web applications it would like employees to access from both inside the firewall and when traveling or at home without requiring VPN access and without requiring a separate duplicate identity on the extranet. Something like OWA, but for any web application. ADFS's integration with Windows Integrated Authentication means that employees get Kerberos single sign-on from their work desktops and authenticate against the same Active Directory account using forms-based authentication and one-way Forest Trust from the DMZ into the internal network when they're away from the office. The benefits of this scenario include single sign-on to a farm of IIS v6 web applications, stronger authentication via forms, client-side certificates, Atom supports benefits security, of course, and it enables support for these road warrior scenarios when they access applications remotely. Ultimately, everyone gets access with enhanced security via Windows integrated authentication for internal users and ADFS authentication for external users. So let's look at another scenario. ADFS enables the Federation scenario, which is fundamentally different in that it breaks out authentication from the access control decision and places it at the user or account side of the relationship. Instead of a user authenticating to an extranet site by typing or credentials, the user's corporate network and Active Directory environment, which you can consider their home realm, automatically generate a SAML, or Security Assertion Markup Language, security token for the end user that, when it's presented to the resource or application, is used to grant access rights. The key to enabling this sort of distributed access control is the federated trust the two partners set up, which includes a key exchange and negotiation on the types of data about users the application will require. And these are collectively what we consider claims. Through federation, the end user gets SSO to all their internal network applications through standard Windows integrated authentication, plus SSO to partner applications through federation. Federated SSO works with two types of applications. Claims-based applications, which are applications written specifically to consume ADFS claims through ASP.NET rules or Authorization Manager. A particularly elegant solution in that it provides a simple user interface for administrators to define user roles and map those roles to operations in a web application. This abstracts user management from the application development process and reduces the amount of application rework required. Next, Windows-based web applications which use local Active Directory accounts. These include applications like SharePoint. In these applications, ADFS can automatically map a security token to a local AD account, instantly enabling SSO for these applications, even outside the firewall. There are many benefits to this scenario as well. Single sign-on to internal and partner web applications, fewer passwords for users to forget, lower password reset costs, centralized administration delegated to partners, automated restriction of partner application access, plus the ability to log inbound and outbound access requests. As you can see, this scenario can be pretty involved. It's highly flexible. So let's back up for a moment and review. Here's an overview of how identity federation in a B2B scenario would work, and this is actually how our demo works as well. First, the user hits the web server for a federated partner application. The web server's ADFS SSO agent looks for a security token to grant access. But if the user doesn't have one, it sends the user back to its resource-side federation server. The resource-side federation server looks at its list of federated partners to determine where it needs to send the user to get its security token. The first time this happens is called home realm discovery, and the server asks the user to provide some identifying data, like an email address. All subsequent visits to that site, a cookie on the user's browser will tell the federation server what account the user is with. Next, the resource-side federation server sends the user back to its own corporate environment or its home realm to get authenticated. If the user's already logged into Windows at work, then ADFS leverages the existing Kerberos ticket and doesn't need to ask for credentials. The account-side federation server now builds the required security token for the application. The server determines the claims it will insert in the token by evaluating the policy in the server against the data it finds for the user in Active Directory. So here, Active Directory interacts with the federation server. Group memberships and attribute values are the most common ways that claims are given to users and put into the token. Also, at least one identity claim, such as an email name, a user principal name, or common name, will be included in the token to provide the application with a unique identifier for the user. With the token in hand, the user is redirected back to the application, where the SSO agent checks for a token, then asks the Federation server to check the authenticity of the token against the certificate on file for that partner. This, of course, assumes that a certificate exchange happened offline or out of band. Presuming the signature is valid and has not been tampered with, the claims inside the token are extracted and provided to the application. The application then uses the claims to provide the user context. No authentication happens for the user on the resource side, and no password is managed or even required by the application. Enabling security through certificates is what we'll discuss next. Certificates that help enable security tremendously. Certificates are used in two key areas. Two are used on the server running the Federation service, and one is used by the server running the Federation service proxy. The Federation server uses a token signing certificate to digitally sign all security tokens that it produces. The token signing certificate contains a private key that is associated with the certificate. Because each security token is digitally signed by the account partner, the resource partner can verify that the security token was in fact issued by the account partner and that it was not modified. This helps avoid unauthorized access by preventing forgery or modification of security tokens. The other type of certificates used by the Federation service are verification certificates. Verification certificates are used to verify that a security token was issued by a valid Federation server and that it was not modified. Verification certificates are actually the token signing certificates of other Federation servers. In contrast to token signing certificates, verification certificates do not contain a private key associated with their certificate. The Federation server must have a verification certificate for the Federation server that issued the security token to verify that a security token was issued by a given Federation server and not modified. The Federation proxy server uses the SSL client authentication certificate to authenticate to the Federation service. Any certificate with client authentication extended key usage, or EKU, can be used as a Federation server proxy client authentication certificate. A copy of the Federation server proxy client authentication certificate is stored on both the Federation server proxy and in the trust policy of the Federation server. However, only the Federation server proxy stores the private key that is associated with the Federation server proxy client authentication certificate. The Federation server, FS proxy server, and web servers all use SSL server authentication certificates to secure web services traffic for communication with web clients or the Federation server proxy. Now that we understand certificates, let's talk about authentication and authorization. Logon requests can be made through a variety of methods. The recommended method is Windows Integrated Authentication. This makes authentication fastest and easiest for the user. You could also use client certificates, where the browser requests a client certificate and the user chooses the certificate. Forms-based authentication is another popular option. Forms-based authentication can be good because it allows for customization, such as facilitating password reset or access to help information. As a last option, you can use basic authentication, which will prompt the users with a conventional username and password dialog. There are additional tools which can help facilitate authorization. Let's look at those next. Authorization Manager, or AZMAN, or sometimes called AZMAN, is a component of Windows Server 2003 that provides a role-based access control, or RBAC, infrastructure for applications. the Federation service integrates with Authorization Manager to create organization-wide role-based access policies that can be triggered by claims received for a specific resource. This capability enables organizations to enforce corporate access policy from one central location at an administrative level, rather than embedding hard-coded access control policies in every application. And it allows authorization to be controlled at runtime by an administrator. There are three general steps to use ASMAN. First, define a set of operations. Then group operations into tasks. Then assign those tasks to roles. Next, let's explore the claims-aware federation process. In general terms, there are five steps to enabling federation for a claims-aware application. First, you need to configure the environment and set up the trust policy and the application. Next, you will create claims. We'll talk more about claims later, but again, in a general sense, claims are statements made about a user. After claims are created, you have to create claim transforms, which will make the claims from one organization understandable to another organization with different taxonomy. Once the environments are prepared and the claims and transforms are created, we'll actually establish the trust. With trust established, users will be able to be authenticated and authorized properly, but that authorization needs to be associated with actions in an application. To accomplish this, claims will be enabled for the application, and then we'll see the federation work. So let's see this in action. In this demonstration, we'll perform all of the foundational configuration to enable federated access to an application. There are many interoperating components from our infrastructure that are required to be properly configured in order to enable federated identity management with ADFS. Let's start by reviewing the properties from the Federated Services snap-in. We can view and change the token signing certificate, change the default client web pages, and set custom debugging levels. Next, we need to add and enable the application to the application pool. This is accomplished through IIS. Once the application is added and enabled in IIS, we need to add the application to the Federation server. Now that we've enabled the ordering application in IIS, we'll move to the Federation server. Adding the application to the Federation server is accomplished through the Add Application wizard. We'll select the type of application, and then we enter a friendly display name and URL for the application. The URL should match the return URL value for the application in IIS. Since we chose to add a claims-aware application, we must also specify the identity claims that the application will accept. We'll use the User Principal Name or UPN claim type. We can elect to enable the application immediately or at another time. Naturally, if the application is not enabled, the Federation server will not authenticate users against it. Next, we'll enable several claims. Claims are statements made about users, and they play a pivotal role in authentication and authorization in ADFS. We'll look at claims in more detail later. The other configuration we have to complete is to modify the web.config file associated with the ordering application in order to store the URL from the server hosting the application. This is a relatively simple task, but it's critically important that this is completed, or Identity Federation using ADFS cannot complete successfully. For efficiency in this demo, our domain controller acts as a Federation server. The URL is entered in three places in the web.config file. Federation trusts are managed in the ADFS console, which allows us to manage accounts or inbound federations, resources or outbound federations, and claims or authorization statements made about users. We'll set up a federated trust between the two organizations that maps business arrangements between the two companies. Let's start with Tray Research. Adding new partners in ADFS is done through an easy-to-use Add Account Partner wizard. The wizard allows us to do a bulk import via a policy file, which makes setup easier, or you can walk through the wizard manually as we are here. The URI conforms to WS Federation semantics for identifying Federation partners. The Federation Service Proxy URL is used to redirect users to their home environments for authentication if the user is not currently authenticated. In a federation, a user authenticates against their home environment, which then shares authorization data about that user with external resources. No authentication happens at the resource, and no passwords are passed over the wire for added security. As a security measure, we add a datum certificate or public key, which we'll use to verify the authenticity of each incoming resource request, leveraging existing public key infrastructure technologies. Each access request, ADATUM will pass Tray Research a secure token with claims about the user packaged inside. This requires a trust to exist between the account and resource security realms. Each request from ADATUM will come with at least one identity claim used to specify the specific user, which we just identified here. Another security measure, Tray Research can constrain the suffixes it will accept from identity claims in this federation. When we click Finish, we've set up one side of the Federation trust. ADATUM would use a similar wizard on their side to add Tray as a secure resource partner. We saw how to configure the environment. Next, let's discuss what these applications need in order to be enabled for Federation. ADFS-enabled applications must implement the ADFS API or another API that consumes claims. These applications also take advantage of new features available in ASP.NET 2.0, so they necessarily need to be ASP.NET 2.0 applications. Next, let's talk about authorization using claims. Again, claims are statements made about users. The information in the statement can include a name, identity, key, group, privilege, or capability. The information from claims is used for authorization purposes in an application. Claims are understood by both partners in a federation that uses ADFS. The Federation service is what negotiates the trust. The claims are used by the resource network to make more specific authorization decisions. There are three types of claims that are supported by the Federation service: UPN or user principal name, email, and common name. In ADFS are referred to as identity claim types, and they're not prioritized in that order when more than one identity claim is present. UPN indicates a Kerberos-style user principal name. email identity indicates RFC 2822 style email names, such as jeffpike@fabricam.com. A common name identity is an arbitrary string that is used for personalization, such as Jeff Pike. You should be careful when using a common name claim for authorization decisions because there is no mechanism to guarantee uniqueness of the identity. Group claims indicate membership in a group or role. Administrators define individual claims that have the group type, group claims. Groups might be along the lines of developer, tester, or project manager. Finally, custom claims contain custom information about a user, like an employee ID number. This gives you more flexibility in inserting information into claims. Now let's actually go and create some claims. In this demonstration, we'll create various types of claims on both sides of the partnership. During the business negotiation, Trey Research informed ADATUM that it needed to define and send the following claims about its authorized users each time they try to access and use the ordering application. First, purchaser for ADATUM employees. Second, administrator for ADATUM employees that will have the right to make environment settings changes on behalf of ADATUM. A unique identity claim, in this case the user principal name, will be required. We're creating a group claim, and we could have chosen a custom claim. This refers to how the claim is populated or how membership is defined by the administrator. ADFS supports the ad hoc creation of both of these claim types. Now we configure how ADATUM determines who gets to send these claims to Trey and how Trey will handle them before passing them to the application. ADATUM starts by defining a set of organization claims. These claims are a set of descriptive statements about people in ADATUM's business that have potential importance to federated applications. By creating these claims, we've organized ADFS to be able to perform a fundamental aspect of the federation process. Another important function of the federation service is to perform claim mapping. Transforms are used to map claims from one partner into claims that can be understood by the other partner. It is critically important to create accurate transformations so that the proper partner groups can be mapped to the correct resources. Generally, claim types map to the same claim type. For example, email claims always map to email claims. However, you can perform group to UPN claim mapping on the resource side federation service against incoming account side claims. For an example of this, let's take a look at transforms and how they're created and used. In this demonstration, we'll create an incoming claim transform to map account claims to resource claims. Populating a claim involves creating a claim extraction, leveraging the tight integration with Active Directory. We'll start by adding and enabling the account store itself. This is done through a simple wizard. We'll make an Active Directory account store and create it immediately. From the Active Directory store, we create a new group claim extraction. For this claim extraction, we'll find the authenticated user's group. We'll add that group in order to map this to the organization claim. Next, we select the ADATUM claim against which the group will be mapped. In similar fashion, we'll create another two group claim extractions. We'll create one for purchasing admins, which will be mapped to the purchasing administrator claim. Finally, we'll add a purchasing department group claim extraction. The purchasing department group will be mapped to the purchasing agent group claim, or organization claim, excuse me. We could have multiple extractions tied to the same claim, and multiple groups in an extraction for more flexible granting of access rights. Next, we group a claim. We create a group claim map. We'll map the ADATUM organization group claim to the ADATUM outgoing group claim map. Now we'll make two more outgoing claim group claim mappings based on the claim extractions we created just moments ago. Purchasing administrators will be mapped to administrator. And purchasing agent will be mapped to purchaser. Basically, this process draws the line between organization claims, Active Directory user groups, and the proper associations that will enable secure access for ADATUM users outside the domain with their federated partner, Tray Research. We configured ADATUM claims so that they translate user groups into claims, and those claims into outgoing claims that can be understood by a resource partner. Tray Research now needs to transform the ADATUM claims into claims that can be understood by Tray. This is done by creating incoming group claim maps on the Tray London server. The incoming group claim maps will associate the incoming ADATUM claims to the proper Tray Research organization group claims to enable the proper application access to the proper partners. On the ADATUM node under Account Partners, we'll create a new incoming group claim mapping to map the ADATUM administrator to administrator. We'll also map the ADATUM purchaser to the Tray purchaser. And ADATUM to gold. With this complete, we've completed the identity path from the account partner, ADATUM, to the resource partner, Tray Research. By creating the incoming claim transform, we've associated claims across the Federation. A Federation Trust is the embodiment of a business-level agreement or partnership between two organizations. It's critical that you take care of those business-level agreements or partnership agreements prior to enabling the IT aspects of the trust. You should be aware of the potential security ramifications. You should devise and agree upon methods for getting sensitive information, such as the transfer of certificates between your organization and the partner organizations prior to any implementation. Once the trust relationship is formalized on a business level, the mechanics of establishing the trust with ADFS are relatively simple. The account partner transfers the token signing certificate to the resource partner via some agreed-upon out-of-band method. And the resource partner uses ADFS to establish the trust and enable the account partner. Let's go back to our demo environment and make this happen. In this final demonstration, we'll enable claims for the application and access the application via the Federation. We'll now try using the tray ordering application as a user at ADATUM and see what rights have to do with the process. Eric Parkinson is an employee of ADATUM who is being promoted to a purchasing agent responsible for sourcing memory chips. Eric will be frequently using the Tray Research Extranet ordering site. Note that in the Tray application, ADFS would typically provide single sign-on for Eric immediately upon starting the application. But for the purposes of the demo, we've made authentication dependent on placing an order so we can watch the URL redirects. By looking at the page, we can see the application is using the identity claim to recognize Eric as a unique user, but he's not getting access rights to any functionality. That's because Eric has not yet been added to the purchasing-related groups within Active Directory at home, and therefore isn't presenting the purchaser or administrator claims needed by the application. ADFS ties the federated application authorization to the home identity of a user, instead of requiring the creation and maintenance of a separate extranet user account for each partner application that an employee might need to use. Thus, we'll change Eric's privileges in Active Directory users and computers on the account or ADATUM side. Tying the authorization of a user to his or her home domain, the account domain, has numerous benefits including easier auto-delegated administration, more secure access, and better deprovisioning. If Eric were fired tomorrow, we can be certain his Active Directory identity would be disabled. Separate extranet identities might not get disabled as quickly, or at all, which could create a security threat. We add Eric to both purchasing department and purchasing administrators groups via Active Directory in his home ADATUM domain. Because Eric has been added to the purchasing department, the next time Eric authenticates, he'll get a new set of claims that include the purchasing claims. Since we just made the change to Active Directory, his identity will not be updated. In order to force the update of Eric's group membership changes, we'll log off and log back on to the client computer. Now that we're logged on, we'll access the application again through Internet Explorer. Now that Eric has been added to the purchasing groups, he can now order memory. Furthermore, because ADATUM is recognized as a gold partner from the claim trade appended to Eric's claim set before passing to the application, Eric sees a 15% discount. Eric also is carrying the administrator claim, so he now has access to administrative functions at the bottom of the application he otherwise would not see. We've successfully configured two environments with ADFS to enable a user to access a partner application with their own home credentials. As you can really see that the configuration will pay off in the long run by not having to deal with individual identities of partner organizations, or that you only have to worry about local credentials and do a small amount of work to enable broad access to partner applications using ADFS. If your partners do not have an Active Directory infrastructure, they can still federate with you since ADFS is built on web services standards. ADFS is a key deliverable in the Microsoft vision for identity management. Windows Server 2003 R2 delivers ADFS, as well as additions and improvements in other identity management components, including Atom and Unix identity management. To get more information on the products and technologies we've covered today, there are some online resources available that can help you. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. Additionally, visit microsoft.com/technet/ADD53 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available for Microsoft as well. a couple good developer-oriented books that might help you to get a handle on how to create and manage claims-aware applications. First, Microsoft ASP.NET 2.0 Step-by-Step is a hands-on, step-by-step guide to learning the programming enhancements in ASP.NET 2.0. Programming Microsoft ASP.NET 2.0 Applications, Advanced Topics, is the name of another book. It provides in-depth guidance to help professional developers achieve mastery of advanced ASP.NET capabilities. Microsoft also has instructor-led courses if you prefer the classroom-style environment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including security and patch management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? Microsoft certification programs provide that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals, and it's a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional. You can choose to go and become a fully certified system administrator, or system engineer, or a desktop specialist. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which I'm sure you'll find interesting to hear about. To help explain this in more detail, I'd like to introduce Holly Dias, Senior Marketing Manager for TechNet.
Many of you may be familiar with TechNet events and the TechNet website. But have you ever realized the benefits of being a TechNet Plus subscriber? A TechNet Plus subscription is the most convenient and reliable resource for IT professionals evaluating, managing, and supporting Microsoft technologies. With a TechNet Plus subscription, you can evaluate Microsoft software without time limits. This benefit allows you to try products at your own pace and make informed decisions without worrying about the software expiring. TechNet Plus evaluation software includes the latest Microsoft operating systems, server applications, and Office products. With TechNet Plus, you can also save time resolving technical issues. TechNet Plus subscriptions include a range of support options, including the complete Microsoft knowledge base delivered each month on portable media, and two complimentary professional support incidents to address your technical roadblocks. TechNet Plus offers centralized access to current, authoritative technical guidance, software, and support resources from Microsoft. IT professionals around the world rely on TechNet Plus every day to help them build their technical expertise and be successful in implementing Microsoft solutions. For details, visit www.microsoft.com/TechNet/subscriptions. On the subject of TechNet resources, the new TechNet support page outlines all the support resources available for you. The enhanced TechNet troubleshooting and support page outlines all the ways IT professionals can get support assistance from Microsoft. From free online support options to subscription-based support, you'll find all your Microsoft support resources in one location at www.microsoft.com/TechNet/support. TechNet also provides a number of community resources. There are a number of free resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The TechNet newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post their technical questions, and because they are subscribers, are guaranteed a response to any technical questions by next business day from community experts or Microsoft support professionals. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can ever cover on this slide. Plus, the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details where you can attend a TechNet event live. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk with Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. Thank you very much for listening to this session.